Nehemiah chapter 6, as we continue in Nehemiah, something that's very important I want to share with you this evening. Nehemiah chapter 6, this morning we looked at the thought of saying no to Ono, and a place of distraction, delusion, and destruction. Satan wants to get our mind off the work of God. And we see that in Nehemiah chapter 6, that Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem try to steer Nehemiah away from the work of God. And then we see something else in verse number 10. Afterward, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God. Now, that's not a problem. Meeting in the house of God is a great thing, right? But why did he want that to happen? Within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come and slay thee. He wasn't trying to meet in the house of God, to worship God, to give thanks to God. He wanted to hide. He was scared. He thought he was being smart, intelligent, and saying, I tell you what, I believe your life is in danger, Nehemiah. We need to go hide. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. Now, verse 11 is our text. I want us to see this in verse 11, Nehemiah's response, because I tell you, it gives me chills the way he responds. And I said, should such a man as I flee? Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceive that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me. For Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so in sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. What was going on was they were lying, they were trying to scheme and dig things up about Nehemiah and guide him to be spineless and scared, and it didn't happen, did it? And I want to talk to you for a moment tonight about this thought, such a man as I, such a man as I. Now, I got a text message about wearing bow ties today. This title was already in play before I got that text. I want you to know that. So this is not a message for all you wearing bow ties today. I just want to make sure you understand that, all right? But we're going to be talking about that thought of such a man as I. Lord, thank you for your word, for Nehemiah, for who he is. Thank you for all that you've done in our lives, and thank you for bringing us back tonight. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Tonight I'm asking everyone this question: what kind of man was Nehemiah? I'm asking everyone in here, what kind of man was Nehemiah? We've been going through Nehemiah. We've been going through six chapters of Nehemiah, and it's taken about 10 weeks to where we are now. And so I'm asking you tonight, what man, what kind of man is Nehemiah? Now I'm asking only the men this question. Only the men, what kind of man are you? What kind of man are you? There is a movement now that condemns men. I saw one article that a man got on his knees in front of a woman and asked for forgiveness for all the men in the world. I want you to know he was not speaking on my behalf. Some might say that men rape, kill, and steal, and I would say, and I would agree with that. But I'll disagree that they do so because they are men. They do that because they are wicked men and they deserve the strictest of consequences if guilty. But men need help. We need real men to step up and be the man in their homes and the man in their communities. Men are struggling in our communities today. Men are twice as likely to be addicted to alcohol and drugs than women. Men, on average, die 5 years younger than women. A lot of that is due to addiction. 77% of all suicides are men. Think about that for a second. 77% of all suicides are men. The increase of that suicide rate from 97 to 2014 was 43%. Over 90% of all inmates today in America are, you guessed it, men. Men are being attacked today in America, and the male leadership in America is declining. There is a demasculization in America right now. And I want to tell you, that's not biblical. I want you to understand, God made men and women different. And He has given men and women different roles. And we as Christians should not step into or get into this guise of that men and women are the same. Because we're not. We have different roles. Now, I will tell you this. God loves men and women alike. God died for every man. God died for every woman. He sent His Son to die for all. So what do we need? We need men. We need men like Nehemiah. I love his response. You want me to hide? You want me to flee the wall and get down? That's just as bad as going to, oh no, is coming down off the wall and hiding. Should such a man as I flee? What was he talking about there, such a man as I? Well, he's talking about a man that would answer the call. I do appreciate Veterans Day is coming. I appreciate all the men and all the women that have served in our armed forces. I appreciate them sacrificing, giving themselves, their time, their efforts, putting themselves in harm's way. I appreciate their families. I appreciate the men and the women on our police forces. When he said, when I say the man that answered the call, it was a call from God to do a great work for him. In Nehemiah chapter 2, in verse number 5, we see Nehemiah confronting the king about what he wants to do. He says, "And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulcher, that I may build it." God called him to do a great work. How many have a cell phone? Is it turned off? You have a cell phone, right? How many of you have that cell phone, right? Okay. I'm not going to do that. I want to do who's the youngest person with a cell phone in this auditorium. Listen, I didn't get a cell phone until I was a junior in college, and some of you beat me with that. Some of you didn't get a cell phone until you were later on in life. I remember in college we had a payphone. In college, it was like a huge shoebox on a wall that had buttons, guys. Okay, and it had this little thing that you put up. One thing went to your ear and one thing went to your mouth. Okay, teenagers, and then you had to dial and push that button. There was no touch screens. All right, how many of you have cell phones? You have cell phones, right? And how many of you receive calls that you have no idea who that number is? Yeah. You know what I do? I let it go to voicemail, right? How many of you have somebody call you? I'm not going to ask anybody to raise your hand. How many of you have somebody call you, and you're like, oh, I don't want to talk to them? Oh, calling again? What do? You either let it ring or you ignore. Huh? You don't do that, do you? Now, sometimes we do that. Why? Because we know what they're going to tell us, and we don't want to have to talk to them about that situation or about what's going on, and we know what we're going to have to face. How many of you remember Jonah? Jonah got a call, didn't he? Jonah got a call. In Jonah chapter 1 and verse number 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying," now here's the word of the Lord. He had no opportunity to ignore, did he? He had to listen to what was being said. He said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Listen, men in this room, God is going to call you to do a great work. God is calling you. How will you answer that call? We do have men who said no to God. And when a man, a husband, says no to God, it just doesn't hurt him, it hurts his whole family. And Jonah got that call. And every man in this auditorium has received or will receive or is receiving. You with me, teenage boys? You listen? When that call comes in, you have a choice. You will either be the man that answers the call and says, "Yes, Lord," or you'll be like Jonah in verse 3. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish." And the next phrase is one of the saddest in all the Bible. "From the presence of the Lord." Nehemiah answered the call and found glory and peace and joy in the great work of God because he stayed in his presence, in the presence of the Lord. And when you run from that call, listen to me, when you run from that call, "Well, I mean, Pastor Creed, we're in church." Okay, that's great. You could be in church and out of God's will. When you answer that call and you say no to God, you're leaving the very presence of God. And when you leave the very presence of God, you put yourself and your family in danger. It's a very serious thing. Very serious thing. Nehemiah was a man that answered the call. He was a man that completed the job. A man that completed the job. How many of you ever hired anybody? Amen. How many of you ever hired anybody you wish you had never hired? We got more hands up there. There's an epidemic, and we just talked about cell phones, but there's an epidemic of people negating their job and not doing their job and being late or not showing up on time or not doing their job right or being lazy. Men, we need to step up and lead men doing the job and completing the job. Completing the job. I love what it says in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15. In our same chapter, this is the chapter where they finish the wall. Amen. See, the first time they come out of captivity and they complete the temple, and now there's an important task to be done. And God calls Nehemiah, and he answers that call. And then he doesn't just answer that call, he completes it. He stays on the wall. We learned that this morning, that he didn't get distracted. That he stayed on the wall, and he built the wall. Verse 15 So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul, and 50 in 2 days. What a great work was done and completed. Now, every man, we need to understand, we have different men with different makeup. Not everybody can build things. Not everybody can work on a car, right? But I want to tell you, young men, all men, need to work. Fathers, we need to teach our sons how to work. We need to teach our sons the value of hard work. In a society where we want to limit the amount of work that we do, we need to teach our sons, our boys, about hard work and labor. Boys need to learn how to mow grass and other things like that, and getting out and working hard, amen? Sometimes we need to get the video games away from them and get them outside and get them working, get them sweating. Completing a job, teaching our men how to work. We are called the providers. You with me? Now, I'm not trying to alienate the women here tonight, but I want you to understand, and biblically, the men are the providers of the family. And I have no problem with women working. Okay, I want you to understand that. There are women that work. But men, we have been given the biblical responsibility to provide. And no matter what challenges came Nehemiah's way, he found the way to get the job done. He was a man that completed the job. He was a man that led with compassion. A man that led with compassion. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 17 says, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproached." Look at verse 18. Now, what a leader. He's just looked at the whole wall. He's walked around the wall and checked out what gates need to be worked on and where the wall needs to be repaired. And he's done, he made a list. And then he gets in front of the people and he starts speaking to the people. And he's not saying, "I'm going to make you do this and I'm going to make you do that and you have to do this and you have to do that." He said, "Let us repair the wall." He was leading with compassion. And what happened when he led with compassion? "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build." The people got excited and wanted to see the job done. Men, we should learn to lead with compassion. In Jude chapter 1, verse 22, "And of some having compassion, making a difference." You want to be a leader that makes a difference, you must lead with compassion. We should love to lead, men. But most importantly, we should love who we lead. We should love who we lead. Aren't you thankful God loves who he leads? Part of the demasculization of men is the masculization of women. Women acting like men. I want you to know tonight that there are only two genders, two sexes. Let's not get that confused. Marriage is one man and one woman. We're completing bathrooms back there. There's going to be a man's bathroom and a women's bathroom. Women, you're not allowed to go in the men's bathroom. Men, you're not allowed to go in the women's bathroom unless you're cleaning. And just as important as it is to teach our boys to become men and leaders of the home and leaders in society, we must teach our girls. Now listen, this is not popular, but I'm going to say it. I want you to listen to this. We must teach our ladies how to be good followers. I'm talking to ladies this morning, or this evening. The teenage ladies are up here. There are ladies in our church that are single and looking. Don't marry a wimp. Don't do that. You look for a leader that you can follow. And it's important, mothers, fathers, for us to teach our daughters how to lead. How to lead. You say, why are women leading today? Because men have negated that role and have given up that role. And men, we need to step it up. We need to lead. I like what Joshua said in Joshua 24, verse 15. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. But the gods which your fathers served, which that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. You want to serve the Egyptian gods? Go ahead. You want to serve the enemy's gods? You want to serve rubble? You want to serve a statue? You choose. But I love what he says. But as for me and my house, listen to this. What did he say? We will serve the Lord. Who was in charge of his house? Joshua. Who made the decision that his house was going to serve the Lord? Who was that? Joshua, the man of the house. The man of the house. I pray we don't get sucked up into this cultural lie that we have going around now that women are to lead the household. That is unbiblical. Men, it's time to step up and be leaders. Nehemiah was a man that protected his family. Protected his family. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 17. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. Amen. Nehemiah says, you need a weapon. You need a weapon to take care of yourself. You need a weapon to take care of your family. And guys, it is our responsibility not only to be the provider, but to be the protector of our family. Watch this, both protecting physically and spiritually. Physically and spiritually. And Nehemiah knew that protection was important. Protection was important. I thank God for the men in this country that'll stand up and protect their family. I remember getting married. I couldn't wait for that wedding to be over. I'm not a big wedding person. Don't care much for funerals either, but I'm not a wedding person. Okay, just so you know. That wedding was over, and we got back home to Georgia, where we lived, and was youth pastor and worked in Georgia, Noonan, Georgia. And I remember that night back in our home, laying there thinking, if someone came in this house, it's my job to protect this woman. It was a surreal thought. I had that thought over and over and over for weeks. And it scared me half to death. Guys, there was a time where I had to realize, hey, I'm going to protect this family if it costs me my life. Because God made me a protector and gave me that responsibility. Nehemiah was a protector. What a man. You want me to go into a building and hide from these scumbags. You know what Nehemiah said? Nah, not going to happen. I'm a protector. I'm going to be out there. I'll be the one going to the danger. Amen? What a man. We need some men of God. You cannot be a man of God without first being a man. Be a man. And lastly, Nehemiah, he was a man that loved God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind. Verse 2, chapter 2, verse 4, and then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make a request? So I prayed to God of heaven. How do you know Nehemiah loved God? When Nehemiah heard about the rubble of the wall, he had a burden, and God called him. What happened to him? He prayed to God. When he was about to confront the king about going and building the wall, what did he do? He prayed to God. We like to be tough men. We got our testosterone. But you cannot be a man of God unless you're first a man on your knees praying to God. May we be men of prayer, men that love God, men that spend time in the presence of God. Joshua 23:11 says, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Ian Bowen says this, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. Men. I asked the church what kind of man Nehemiah was. And now I'm asking you, what kind of man are you? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time.